Years in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Do you ever hear the story? Do you know where I'm going when you hear Punxsutawney? You know where? Yeah. So this group of groundhog hunters declared Phil was America's only true weather forecasting groundhog. Did you know that to be true? I always wondered about why a groundhog. I mean, it's a rodent, right? They call it an earth squirrel or a pig whistle, the pig whistler. Whistle pig. Did you ever hear one of them? I tried to get on a flash drive and hear the thing chirping and whistling and, but they do all sorts of crazy things to the groundhog. I never knew they could climb trees until about maybe 8 years ago. There's a mulberry tree in our back. I saw something up there eating mulberries out on its branch. I thought it was a raccoon in the middle of the day. I was like, oh man, I'm going to have to, you know, shoot this rabid raccoon. But anyhow, it wasn't a raccoon. I go out there and here is a groundhog. I was like, what in the world? So yeah, they can climb and everything else, but the groundhog, it's one of those things. So we now are going to be, what, early spring is what they tell us. So that's what the whistle pig, right? Whistle pig? The whistle pig is telling us early spring. So, and it seems that way, the 50, 60 degrees. So anyway, with groundhogs, I started thinking about groundhogs, so we're going to have a little groundhog jokes today. How do groundhogs greet their parents? With hogs and kisses. What do you call groundhogs in Britain? Crowned hogs. And maybe there's some truth to that with crowned hogs, but what do you call a groundhog that eats too many cookies? A round hog. All right, so there's a couple jokes this morning. We're finishing up today, John the Baptist, which John the Baptist, when we finish up the life of John the Baptist, has been great to study, great to look at, to understand more of his mission, his purpose, what Jesus said, what the prophecy said. So part one, we discussed the prophecy and who Jesus said he was. Part two, we looked at his life, that he was strong in spirit, that he had this mission. Part three, that he taught and his influence on society. And today, part four, the ending of his life is also the ending of our study on John the Baptist, is his imprisonment, his death, and how his free speech was denied and how that led to his death. That's what we're looking at this morning for part four of John the Baptist. And let's just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the history that we have as Christians. We thank you for the many men and women before us who have carried the flame of the gospel out and proclaimed your name, for the love of you to tell people that you are our King, to tell people that you are our Savior, Lord. We thank you for those men and women. And Lord, we help, and we just ask, and we ask for your help that we can do that same thing to our generation, Lord. We ask that. Give us this morning, help us to see and understand more of how we can affect people with the gospel, just as so many great people that we read in Scripture have done, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. Mark chapter 6, we're going to be looking at this morning, and primarily staying in Mark chapter 6, but we will be jumping around. Now, Mark chapter 6, we're going to be starting in verse 14 and rolling through 29. Starting in verse 14, King Herod heard about this. So this is, they're talking about Jesus here and jump straight to King Herod. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that this is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said he is Elijah, and still others claimed he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, the man I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised he will give, he promised her with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. What a grudge, huh? I mean, when you read that, so the up to half the kingdom this girl could have had, half the kingdom. And she went to her mom, and the mom, with such a grudge, asked for the death, the murder of John the Baptist. So that's where we look at right now, John the Baptist. We know that John the Baptist, we know that he went out and he preached repentance. Repent, repent, repent. The Messiah is coming. That's what we know John the Baptist was doing. We know that he was teaching. He was instructing people. And when he went to Herod, and as I read this passage of scripture this week, it dawned on me. I looked at John at a different light. You know, a lot of times in my mind, when I think about John the Baptist, of this prophet, this man who ate locusts and honey, what he wore, long hair, his vow before the Lord. Many times I think of him, that he was going to people, in your face, you need to repent. But I don't think he was, from what I read from this, I don't think he was in your face, you need to repent. I think he spoke and preached a repentance. But John the Baptist was very popular at this time. John the Baptist across society was looked at in a good way. And even here we see King Herod protected him. King Herod, you would think after John the Baptist went to Herod, and we know that Herod gave the orders to behead John, right? We know that Herod gave the order to have John arrested and thrown into prison. So John, Herod gave these orders, but yet we see here in verse 20 that Herod protected John the Baptist and that he actually liked to listen to him. So if somebody was coming to me and was in my face all the time about, you know, everything I was doing wrong in my life, why would you want to listen to him, right? Would you want to listen to somebody if they were always complaining at you? I don't think so. So Herod here, we see that he actually protected John and that he liked to listen to him, made my thought of John the Baptist step back a little bit, and it changed kind of what I thought about John the Baptist. I think John the Baptist was definitely, as the scripture tells us, he was definitely preaching repentance. But I don't think he was this hard line of turn or you're going to die every day. I think he spoke that. But I think he did it in a loving way. I think he did, as Colossians tells us, said, you know, we're supposed to be gracious in our speech and seasoned with salt. And I think that's what John the Baptist, that's how he spoke, from what I understand here. Because why else would Herod enjoy listening to the man after he came up? So I think John the Baptist spoke truth. John the Baptist here went to Herod and said, this is not right. You're marrying your brother's wife. It's not right. And he talked about other evils that he did. We see in verse, in Luke, I'll read this quick. Luke 3:19-20. But when John rebuked Herod, the tetrarch, because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evils he had done, Herod added this to them all, and he locked John up in prison. So Herod, yeah, he got frustrated with John the Baptist, no doubt. He didn't like what he said, no doubt. Herod wanted to live how he wanted to, but John the Baptist, from what I see here, was seasoned with grace and an understanding of people and wanted Herod to turn from his evil ways. And he spoke in that way to Herod, that's my personal opinion, that he spoke in that way to him. So Herod would begin to see that he can change his life, that this isn't right, that this evil can be changed. You can change it. You need to repent. John the Baptist called for his repentance. And, of course, Herodias was like, no, this is my world. You're not telling me and my king husband of how to live. And she held this grudge. And she had Herod throw him into prison. So Herod feared John, because John was a righteous man. We see that Herod thought of him as a godly man, and he really didn't want to kill him. But nonetheless, from what we see in Luke, after John the Baptist was thrown into prison, why, and if you look at your notes, the whys here is because he rebuked Herod. He was thrown into prison. Herod didn't like it. He rebuked him, and Herod threw John into prison. He confronted his sin by taking his brother's wife. He actually divorced another woman to marry her, and he brought that up, brought the sin to light. Herod didn't like that, and neither did Herodias. Boom, get this guy into prison. And then the other evil things that he did. So John was locked up in prison. As he's locked into prison for preaching correct doctrine of Scripture, he was thrown into prison. Why? For one reason. He was thrown into prison because of how he spoke. What he spoke. What he said. He didn't murder anybody. He didn't kill somebody. He wasn't out causing riots, as far as we know. He simply spoke the truth of Scripture. And John the Baptist, from what he spoke, his freedom of speech, his God-given rights of speech was authority. and he was thrown into prison. That's the Baptist, and that's the ending of his life, comes down to many times of what we are seeing in our world happen today. Today in our world, which we know, we see free speech by many believers under fire. We actually see, and I brought this up the other week, in Africa where 200 people, Christians, were killed Christmas Day for the sport of it because they were Christians. There's actually 13 Christians a day killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. 13 people, 13 Christians a day are killed for what they believe. 13 a day. So John the Baptist was one of the, I'm not sure how many at that time, but he was thrown into prison and then beheaded, killed, for the sole purpose of his speech offended the king's wife. And that's what ended John the Baptist's life. So his God-given rights of free speech was taken away by a governing authority. We also see in scripture many times, and we see today, right? We see it now. We see that private enterprise takes away people's speech. We see that individuals take away people's speech. And we see that governing authority takes away people's speech. The look at today from John the Baptist is an encouraging note for us, where we are as a church, where we are as a nation. I'm not getting political. I'm just kind of going where this ending of John the Baptist's life ended. Because it ended, the whole story of John the Baptist ends by a political authority, a figure of governing authority, that kills an innocent man for what he spoke. What's our First Amendment? First Amendment, I'm going to read it right here. I have it on my phone, I have it everywhere else, but I'm going to read it. The First Amendment of our Bill of Rights for us as Americans that live in this country. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Number one, no law against our religious freedoms. And rightly so, that can be, you can be Muslim in our nation as well, right? So it's freedom of religion. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. As Americans, we have this right. All people have this God-given right, don't we? All people across the world have a God-given right of free speech. Some countries don't. Some countries, which we know, we see, we read the stories, we read news articles, we see people that are killed and murdered for what they speak. John the Baptist was one of those. John the Baptist was beheaded by a government authority for the sole purpose of what he spoke. And there's a Christian theologian. This was actually in England. This just happened. He was fired from his job. He worked at a Methodist Bible university. And he was a theologian for, he didn't die, so I'm not going there. But just the freedom of his speech was taken away. So he worked at a biblical university in England. And brought up the doctrine that was being taught by this university was incorrect when it came to homosexuality, and brought that up and say, this is wrong. Homosexuality is a sin based on what scripture says right here, and went through the details of sin, and wasn't in a hateful tone, wasn't in a hateful manner, loving the people, right, but casting light to the sin. And he was kicked out of his theology position. He was kicked out of the school. He lost his pension. He lost everything that he had. Why? Because he spoke. So what he spoke got him into trouble and got him kicked out, but he yet spoke. He spoke the truth. John the Baptist spoke truth. The difference now with this one is this man was discriminated against by his speech from a university, a private entity, not a government. And I'm not sure if you've been following any of this. There's a Finnish in Finland. It's not Finnish, not we're finished. I always kind of laugh at that Finnish. Right? So anyway, there's some Christian leaders in Finland. And there is actually, I'll just, the lady's name, I can't even read her name, Parabi. She was a member of parliament, a grandmother, mother, big family woman, and she was in parliament. Have you heard this story at all? There is between a bishop in the Catholic Church and this parliament member, same thing, stands up. She's in parliament. She's part of the governing society, the government, the authority in charge of the country, leading the country, putting the policy together, and she came out and said, hey, the belief system here on homosexuality based on scripture is not right. As a nation, we need to turn to look at what scripture says. Do you know that they wanted to throw her in jail? Threw her. I think she spent some time, out of parliament. They discriminated against her for the sole reason and also the bishop. And there's actually some of our government was defending her, working with the parliament in Finland to keep her rights of free speech alive. And as it came out, she was exonerated. Okay, she can say this. We don't like it, but she can say it. So she was thrown, you know, she wasn't thrown into prison. But her free speech was under attack. Same thing as John the Baptist. And this lady also was in government and had government authority that was going against her free speech. So, as we look at John the Baptist, I think it's a great example for us. Are we in this nation willing to stand up for what we believe and speak? Or do we find ourselves not saying something, not to offend somebody? Do we find ourselves not being as firm on our principles and speaking the truth into somebody's life because of fear? I think as a nation, we see it now happening here, and more stories are coming out against us as believers. And in Nazi Germany, there was, these statistics are kind of crazy. In Nazi Germany, before all the executions of the Jews started, there was 3,000 churches that stood with Hitler. Okay, 3,000 churches. There was 3,000 churches that stood against Hitler. Stood on scripture. Stood on, this is what scripture says. This is what they came out and spoke. They used their free speech to speak truth of scripture. And there was 12,000 churches, 12,000, that stayed silent, did not speak one iota either way, and stayed neutral while people were being killed, while families were being destroyed, while businesses were being uprooted and people losing their livelihood. 12,000 churches said nothing. Nothing. That's disgusting. Is that, I mean, 12,000, so if there is one pastor in each church, that's 12,000 pastors that weren't willing to do what Scripture says, that we see what John the Baptist did. These men of Scripture are supposed to be our examples, aren't they? This is how we are to live, to honor God, to promote the gospel, to speak truth, even if it comes down to us losing our head. John the Baptist knew if he went to Herod and he confronted him to repent of his sin, that he could potentially lose his head. Right? And John the Baptist, from what we see in Mark, wasn't in your face, but he had a seasoned with salt, gracious relationship almost with Herod. And Herod still killed him. The 12,000 pastors in Russia, not Russia, in Germany, not to stand up of what is right and what is wrong. That's a sad day. That's a sad day. So as we step back and look at things as our nation, I mean, I encourage people all the time to speak truth, even when it's hard, right? Because it is hard. And sometimes you don't want to say anything. You don't want to get involved. You don't want to step into a situation. I remember one time we were at Coventry Movie Theater, and this was years ago. My dad was a policeman, so my dad was always like stepping into place. So I, as a kid growing up watching my dad be involved in everything, every time there was a problem, you know, he was always in trying to fix the problem or getting himself in the problem. Anyhow, so we were coming to a movie theater, and all of a sudden this fight breaks out, like right there in the middle of the popcorn area. Popcorn's flying, and I think there's soda spilling on the thing, and like these people, and at that time, you don't know if someone's going to pull a gun. You don't know anything. So like I jumped in. I'm like, hey, guys, knock this off. I pulled the one guy off, and I thought I was going to get hit. You know, are we willing to step in? And I think that's the question as believers. Number one, as believers, are we willing to step in to other people's life? Are we willing to step in and provide what Scripture says to help somebody in their spot where they need scriptural truth? Are we willing to do that? Because the church can't always. I mean, the church is the corporate church. We're not in the lives of all the lives that you guys are in, right? You guys are in all sorts of people's lives. Are you willing to step into those lives and help people and speak the truth? The church then, obviously, needs to be speaking the truth, not just from to the corporate, you know, the corporate arena of church, but also out to the community, which filters out through people. Right? Are we willing to do that? Because when I see John the Baptist, that's what he did, and he was killed for it. Jesus, same thing, and he was killed from the Jewish community, but not from the governing authority that John the Baptist was killed by. If we as Christians and churches don't speak and use our First Amendment rights, which, come on, First Amendment, not First Amendment, the God-given rights of our speech to stand up, to tell others what Scripture says in a loving way, we will lose our free speech. We will become one of these churches in Nazi Germany. We will either be one of the 3,000 that says, hey, we're all for you. Do whatever you want. We're behind all things that we're not even going to listen to Scripture anymore. We're going to listen to the government. You can be one of those churches. You can be one of the 3,000 that stands and holds the Scripture, not anti-government, not disobeying government, following government, but keeping Scripture government scripture that says this is what God says, number one, right here. Number one, this is who we are. And then the authority of human government comes under what scripture says. Or you can be the church that says nothing. Go about your business. Keep quiet. Don't say anything. And we eventually know what happens to, we know what happened to Germany. We know what happened to John the Baptist. If we step out and if we speak, and the importance of free speech in our nation isn't just free speech for us as believers. Sometimes we're going to hear other people's stuff that we're like, no, man, that's disgusting, or that's wrong. That's freedom of speech. You know, other groups that we don't agree with have the same freedom, because if they don't have the same freedom and we don't have the same freedom, once government starts to cut down on free speech, they're going to say this is right and this is wrong. We need free speech from all groups, from all levels, so we can continue to speak freely of who Jesus Christ is. Our job as believers comes down to the sole purpose of what? Promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ. Salvation alone through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin, and salvation comes through Jesus Christ. That's where salvation comes from. That's our job, and to help others so they can see that as well and bring them to Christ. That's our job. We need to continue. We need to hold to the fact of our freedom of speech. Otherwise, if we don't, we have the example from John the Baptist, who the governing authority took away his freedom of speech, and he was murdered for the sole fact of what he spoke. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for our country, and I do thank you for, even though, Lord, I know, and you look down upon the world and you see so much wrong, I can't even imagine what you see when you look down on this earth. But Lord, I do thank you for our nation. I do thank you for the freedoms that we do have here as people. Lord, I know that with those freedom sometimes comes a lot of sin. But sin's here anyway, and you know it, and that's why you came. Lord, help us to speak the truth of Scripture to people. Help us to train people on what Scripture says, on how to live for you, how to love you. Help us not to judge others, but to put that into the realm like John the Baptist did, Lord. Help us to be more like that. Help us to understand that when I look now and see that Herod actually enjoyed talking to him. They had conversations. Lord, I just pray, Lord. I pray for our nation as it becomes more difficult in our society to speak truth. Help us, help our nation to hold to a freedom of speech that can be open for all people. And then, Lord, with that comes our job as believers, that we are bold enough to step out and hit society right where it needs to be hit, on what is right and what is wrong. Help us to be those people. Help us to be loving every step of the way, but help us not to fear. Because we know, Lord, that you are in control of all these things. We know that we are called to be your servants. Lord, give us that strength. Lord, I ask for that. I ask for strength as individuals, and I ask for strength as a church, that we will continue to honor and uphold all principles that you give us in Scripture. In your name we pray. Amen.